Everybody, welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. We'll take you to three. Hand it off to our good buddy Phil Benatti. His fine show behind the bench the full 3 hours today. I'll tell you all about the schedule, not only for today, but for the rest of the week, including wall-to-wall coverage on Thursday and Friday from Westwood One of the Big Dance, which gets started tonight with the play-in game. So we'll cover all of that with Jackson in just a moment. But in regard to the schedule, our great sponsors at Precision Civil Engineering, that means Ed Dunkel and Company, will allow us the time to tell you all about the schedule. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Again, we'll tell you about Engineering Yardage, the tremendous fundraiser entering its fifth year football-wise coming up in August. A little bit later in the show, again, the goal of Engineering Yardage to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students at Fresno State. It's worked out beautifully, and we'll tell you more about it and Ed's business a little bit later on. Mentioned Jackson with me, a lot to talk about today. Verdict tomorrow, and then we will be off. The local shows will be off on Thursday and Friday because of all the coverage of the NC2As. But in that regard, and we're starting to run out of time about this great promotion at Eagle Mountain Casino, you have basically through business day on Thursday to sign up. But one more time, ESPN Radio here in town and Eagle Mountain Casino having a great playing hooky day, a day of hooky on the 21st, which is Friday, second day of all-day-long basketball. As you know, we'll be at 68 starting tonight. 64 by the time we get to Thursday, and you have 32 teams on both Thursday and Friday playing. On Friday, Eagle Mountain Casino has its March Madness with us at ESPN Radio. You can sign up today at 1430ESPNFresno.com, our main website. It's an offer for you and a friend just to sign up. Enable you to get a free bus ride to Eagle Mountain Casino, $20 of free play at the casino, a free food voucher, and a ton of giveaways, including a chance to win red seat season tickets for the 2025 football season. Again, sign up, 1430ESPNFresno.com. It's all free. You have until basically 5 o'clock on Thursday, so take the day off on Friday if you can. Make sure you sign up at 1430ESPNFresno.com and have a terrific time at Eagle Mountain Casino, playing a little bit with what is available there and watching the games at the same time. So we look forward to it. We hope you take us up on that offer again at 1430ESPNFresno.com. All right, the other reminders, our good friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing want to bring you the weather. They do every day. 825-5337, 825-LEES, or leesair.com. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline, which brings our guests up and enables Phil to bring callers from the general public up at 320-1430. One time, 1-559-320-1430. As of what, a week ago, everybody has to punch in the area code, even if you're in the same area code. That's just how it works these days around here. Anyway, as far as the weather, we said yesterday that you never say never when you have these atmospheric rivers. It can look calm, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, which is what happened right about the time we signed off on air yesterday. Tornado warnings, watches, some touching down in certain parts of the North Valley. Rain and hail and everything in certain places, and then calm in other places. Right now, it appears everything has dried out, and the weather is beautiful at the moment. A little cool today at 62, but we're going to warm up in a hurry. And one proviso here tomorrow in the North Valley, mainly Merced and Mariposa areas, you're looking at a chance of a little bit of rain. The Northern California reaches are going to get a little bit more tomorrow. It doesn't look like it's going to get down to the Fresno area, but Merced, Mariposa County, you may see some rain, and maybe upper elevations there, the foothills, you may see some snow as well. But a 68 tomorrow, then 67, 67, 68, 72 across to Sunday, and then next week, 77, 82, 84, 76. Spring gets here officially on Thursday, and it looks like by mid-next week we're going to be definitely into spring weather, and we know it'll just get hotter from there. But for right now, we're closing in about, I think, 0.4 of an inch maybe or so away from getting to our seasonal totals, which is amazing because we were way behind in precip. Looking good, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way. Anyway, enjoy the weather out there. Be careful, and never say never about anything with this atmospheric river, or rivers, we'll see. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's, for allowing us the time. Again, 825-5337, 825-Lee's, leesair.com. All right, two other reminders here. If you are, at this moment, on your way home, or maybe you haven't had lunch yet, and again, or maybe you want to have more lunch right now. Either way, I want to remind you one more time about our friends at KFC, and it's always a great idea to tell you about it on a Tuesday because they have that promotion in addition to the usual promotion. So let's get started. First of all, the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors now of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Glad to have them aboard. They're sponsoring the collective to benefit Fresno State with NIL monies. And they're sponsors of this show and, of course, the station as well. We're delighted to have the KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman aboard. As far as the special, every day right now, $15.99 brings you the seven-piece meal deal. That's seven dark meat pieces, legs and thighs, original extra crispy, two large sides of mashed potatoes with gravy, and three home-style buttered biscuits. Again, only $15.99. And on Tuesdays, and today technically is the last buckets on buckets because the rest of the NC2As after today and tomorrow will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the championship game, of course, will be on a Monday. But buckets on buckets still underway, and they'll still have this special even after it's not named buckets on buckets. It is an eight-piece bucket at KFC. Again, your choice, original extra crispy for just $10, a terrific bargain. Again, the food always finger-licking good, and we thank the operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for jumping aboard to benefit Fresno State. If you stop in to grab a bucket, make sure you tell them thanks for being part of the solution that Fresno State is looking for right now in this very competitive world of intercollegiate athletics. All right, the other reminder comes courtesy of another great booster at Fresno State, and that's Joe Cruz and his business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. They allow us the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Once again, remind you about what Joe's business can do for you. If you're anybody who works at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you have a tanker delivery service, anybody who relies upon valves for the well-being of their business, if a valve goes down, your business can go down, and it can be catastrophic to your bottom line. Joe not only has quality components, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade and chemical hoses, all there under one roof at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town, Suite 103, specializing, by the way, pneumatic actuated ball and butterfly valves. But he has same-day estimates and same-day service, and that way he can keep you up and running before something catastrophic happens. He's there. Gabe, who works for him, is there as well. More information on the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Family-friendly business. Joe will tell you what he can do for your business, and then he will tell you what he has done for Fresno State for the last 25 years, his business celebrating his 25th anniversary. Because of the tremendous success of the business, he's been able to give directly to Fresno State to benefit student-athletes, and actually Joe has done this now for over three decades, but his business for 25 years has been tremendously successful here in town. Again, stop by and see him, 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. As far as donations go, the best way to go about it right now, as we tell you every day, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle, information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, you can get involved with an individual sports club. So your money goes directly to that sport. Quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me tomorrow to talk basketball. on the board of directors Timeout Club, he said there are two ways you can reach him for more information. His email, ferdyjack@AOL.com, or his cell, 1-559-287-3305. The Dugout Club is there for baseball, other men's sports, and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then finally, the aforementioned Bulldog Bread Collective. Marcus McMarion took over from Chris with this. He does a great job. Again, any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, Marcus wants to hear from you. Bulldog Bread, bread as in on the table, bread.com. Make sure you contact him. He will get back to you as quickly as possible. So thanks to everybody at KFC, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering. And thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We appreciate everything they do for us and what they do for Fresno State as well. All that having been said, speaking of Fresno State, we bring up the man who covers it like no other. That's right, the king of the bark board himself, Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm just nifty, Jackson, and it's always great talking to you, and a lot to cover today, and you know, not a ton of time to do it, and the only time, of course, you and I will be on the air together this week. Normally, Jackson, with me as the de facto co-host a couple times a week, but like I said, the NC2As will take our time slot on Thursday and Friday, and by the way, I do want to mention, beginning next week, we'll start the preemptions on occasion because of the Giants, including opening day in Cincinnati, which is scheduled for 1:10 our time on the 27th. By the way, speaking of baseball, Jackson, you'll appreciate this. You know how much off-site play-by-play I do, meaning I'm not at the game itself. And I've mentioned to you that Fox does a lot of this now. You see it all the time with games that are telecast from Bulldog Stadium. As you know, frequently FS1, et cetera, announcers aren't there. Well, Fox, of course, had the Dodgers last night at 3 o'clock in the morning from Tokyo. They'll have the same tonight or early tomorrow morning, if you prefer. It'll be on FS1, not on Big Fox. But Jason Benetti and A.J. Przinsky doing the game, they are not in Tokyo. And the trick as an announcer is you're not supposed to tell people you're there when you're not, but you're also, Jackson, not supposed to imply that you're not there if you're following me, okay? Jason Benetti, who is a terrific announcer, he was with ESPN, went over to Fox. He was the television voice of the White Sox, now the Tigers. Three or four innings in the game, in our time, you know, it was like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, he makes mention of the crowd, and he says, you know, this morning, looking at this crowd, now it dawns on him that it's only this morning if he's stateside. And he catches it, and he goes, of course, I mean tonight in Tokyo, because it started at 8 o'clock. I'm talking about you people who are back in the United States. Nice. My lesson to Jason would be, best not even to bring it up. Just let it go right on by. In trying to recover, he made it clear to one and all that it was morning where he was too. Okay, so, but I'm guessing you were not up in the middle of the night to watch that game last night, were you?
I sure wasn't.
That's too bad. I could have used the company. All right. Okay. I want to ask you here up front, speaking of television and sports, we'll see the first of the four Mountain West schools get a shot tonight in the first four. And one more time, the first four is made up of the bottom four automatic qualifiers, which are the 16 seeds, and then usually 11 seeds, every once in a while a 12 seed, the last four in, so they're generally at-larges from the power conferences, though in this case San Diego State was one of the four. So the Aztecs tonight get North Carolina, a team that maybe should not have been in. It'll be a 6:10 start for us on True TV. They win, they get Ole Miss. Do you think the Aztecs have a shot tonight, Jackson?
I think they certainly do. And like especially against a team that a lot of people are questioning whether they should have been in the field or not. North Carolina was pretty putrid against Quad 1 opponents, so they still got in. I know a lot of Mountain West fans were hoping Boise State would get that spot instead of North Carolina. Of course, they wouldn't have played the Aztecs tonight, but I just think San Diego State in general, we know they traditionally like to junk it up. They've been kind of inconsistent this season. I think they're certainly on par with the North Carolina. It's just kind of a matter of which Aztecs team shows up, how good is their offense. Are they the team that dropped 80 against Nevada or the team that only scored 52 against Boise State in their last two meetings or last two games they played?
Well, we'll see what happens again tonight. So I hope you can tune in if you get True TV. It also is available on the net as well. All right, ask you quickly, Colorado State gets the much talked about Memphis Tigers, who I know they're not in the pack, but it seems like every other day there's a rumor they're going to be. How do you feel about, I guess on paper, the hottest team coming out of the Mountain West right now in Colorado State?
And unfortunately, Memphis is the hottest team coming out of the American.
That's correct. By the way, that's a Friday game at 11 o'clock in the morning, incidentally, up in Seattle. So, go ahead.
It kind of takes some of the punch out of Colorado State's old 10-game winning streak to face a team that just won the American Athletic Tournament and was excellent all year long. Obviously, you're getting that type of seat. So, it's not a matchup I'm thrilled about for the Rams' sake, but maybe they can carry that momentum in and get that upset.
Well, we'll see what happens on Friday. Then New Mexico gets Marquette on Friday in Cleveland. That's what I think, a 4:25 start, I believe, on TBS. So what about the team that was thought to be the best in the league all year long?
Yeah, I probably like this matchup most of all. They're just both very similar, so it's going to be a fun game to watch. There's going to be some pretty good talent in the backcourt on both sides, and it's tough being in that 10-7 because you know you're probably going to get a 2 in the next round. And so this one looks like a toss-up to me, but if you're a 10 seed, that's a pretty good spot to be in still for the Lobos.
And then finally, Utah State will head to Lexington to play UCLA. That is a Thursday tip at 6:25 our time on TNT. So what about it?
Yeah, another 10-7 matchup. I feel like Utah State at times looked like they had the highest ceiling this season. A lot of the times it was at home where they're not going to have that type of home court advantage, of course, in the tournament. But, you know, in general, I've seen a lot of these teams kind of falter in the tournament the last few years outside of San Diego State's big run. They feel a little bit jaded, so you hope a team like a Utah State or New Mexico can at least get out of that 10-7 matchup and then, you know, hopefully someone from the conference puts a little bit of a run together to kind of erase some of the last couple of years.
Well, it seems like a long time ago, and it wasn't that long ago, that San Diego State was actually facing off 40 minutes away from a national championship against UConn. But it didn't work out, and the conference, as you mentioned, has not been great since, and we'll see what happens. So enjoy it starting tonight. Again, the first four on True TV, and then as we get to Thursday and Friday, I think everybody knows the drill by now. True TV, TBS, CBS, TNT, all the way around the bend, and you can find everything on the internet as well. And like I said one more time, we won't be on Thursday and Friday because we'll have all the games for you from Westwood One, their full coverage throughout the tournament, culminating, of course, with the national championship game 3 weeks from this last Monday. All right, Jackson, let's turn our attention back to Fresno State. I want to ask you about the football team. What was the takeaway from the first contact, if you will, of spring ball?
Yeah, the Bulldogs ended up having some scrimmage action on Saturday. They were in full pads, and there was heavy emphasis on third and short, which goes along the lines of what they're trying to install here with Coach Ent and his staff. They want to be physical. They want to win in the trenches. And what better way to do that than to make the guys go at it on third and short? So I don't think they learned a whole lot about the quarterback competition per se, but they sure let the linemen go at it and try to establish that sense, that fierceness in the trenches, the dominance, the push if you're the offense for that extra first down. And the defense to make those short stops. So there was a little bit more of that. And I think just in general, too, I'm seeing it at Cal as well, another program that's going to a pro-style offense here this spring, where there's a lot more emphasis on playing those second and mediums, the third and shorts, and gutting out those plays rather than just kind of spreading it out, going first and 10, running everything in the playbook. It seems like programs right now are trying to lock in on their bread and butter plays for critical situations and then build from there.
You know, we've talked the last several years about coaches coming in who don't necessarily want to see a gunslinger, right? And I mean, you can go back to even when DeRuiter got here and you had Derek, who really wanted to get the ball downfield, and there was enough talent, obviously, offensively with Devontae and Isaiah Burst and the guys that short bullet screens, those types of things, and the team was down the field in a big hurry. The defense, of course, was another issue at that time. And even through the Jake Haener time where he would make big plays, but there were times that it would be a little bit cringeworthy because he'd force the ball on occasion. Jackson, I'm guessing right now, since Matt Entz, as we've talked, wants to control the football, that the last thing in the world we're going to see quarterbacking-wise is anybody taking chances big time getting it down the field. Is that a fair assumption here, no matter who the quarterback might be?
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't think we're going to totally see the deep ball eliminated by any means. We see him working on it at practice. And I think back to, as well, even just recently in the 2017-18 type seasons with Coach Tedford and Marcus McNary, and there was kind of more on the end of the pro-style spectrum, but you would wait for that perfect play call where
right.
Marcus could go into play action or just launch a deep one to Keyshawn in a one-on-one battle and see who comes up with it. So I think there's going to be that element, and you got to have someone that has that arm to stretch the defense a little bit. But what we heard from Coach Davis, the offensive coordinator, they're just kind of looking for one-on-one matchups. If there's a receiver and a DB isolated somewhere, they're going to let the quarterback try to make that play and put the ball in a spot for the receiver to make that play. You know, otherwise, you're just not going to see him spread it out and read the field and try to squeeze one into a tight space or anything like that. But they are looking for one-on-one matchups for receivers to win. And that's hopefully where a guy like Josiah Freeman can make some big plays with his size and bring a little bit of excitement to counters that could be a lot of just power running that is effective and will get you to cheer once you get to the end zone, but can be a little bit droning at times, perhaps.
Well, you and I have talked over and over again that as much as Entz wants to control the football, and that means the run game is going to lead the way, if you start to play teams that seeing that from you, they load the box, and you are going to get those one-on-one matchups out there. You're going to take those opportunities. You just don't want to force it downfield. But we've talked about quarterbacking being a three-headed competition, as you mentioned. You never know. You got five quarterbacks there, but you could have somebody that might come from transfer portal land here that could challenge the three that are the main participants right now. And we talked about three running backs the other day with Bryson Donaldson leading the way. But what about the wideouts, Jackson? We have seen this wide variance, as you know, where there have been at times an embarrassment of riches, 6-7 deep, and then at other times, a year later, we look around and they're thin at the wide receiver core. Where are we in regard to numbers and the talent right now with those wide receivers?
Yeah, I think the fun part feels like 15, 20 years maybe, seemed like every time it was so thin, this core, it was like the first of a three-year run of a group of guys that turned into a very stacked room, and maybe they'd add another one or two along the way. It's a little bit of a tough read right now just because you have Josiah Freeman. It's really, and even him, he hasn't put up a ton of stats in his college career yet. They just broke in 2023 and missed most of last year with an injury. So it's well known what he can do, but he just hasn't put a lot of it on film yet. But he feels like the one guy you're sure of. There's a handful of reserves from last year who stepped in along the way, especially late last season. But I wouldn't say by any means we're guaranteed starters. And then you've got some newcomers as well who are kind of on the same page. They're battling for spots. I got a feature on darkboard.com today about Josiah Ahon coming in. He spent some time at Fresno City out of Buchanan and had some good numbers at Western Colorado last year coming in. Pretty neat story. I mean, he got into the portal maybe thinking he'd get a FCS offer, and all of a sudden Fresno State, his hometown team, comes into the picture. So he's an athlete I like quite a bit, and he's pretty similar to the other Josiah Freeman. So I think they've got two kind of taller, longer options to go to. But we need some game breakers. I think Jaleel McClain, a Louisville transfer, former one time was a four-star recruit, finished as a very high three-star. He's a guy that could beat defenses deep. Jayon Terrar is a junior college addition to this team, but he's a pretty dynamic athlete. I think they're going to find a way to get him involved. And Nathan Acevedo probably was next up on the returning group, but he's been out with injury this spring. So it's a pretty big question mark beyond Freeman. I think there's some options, but not sure how many answers we're going to get out of spring. I think there's a freshman class that could potentially shake things up. Harold Duvall, a four-star recruit, one of the best to come through here out of high school, and he very well might command some reps right off the bat. The other two as well are pretty highly regarded three-star recruits, so there's a chance for them to battle, and you know, maybe we'll see them hit the portal after spring two. I know this isn't a program that's going to want to roster a ton of receivers, but maybe if the right guy's there, that could be an immediate two-deep type of player. They might add another one after spring if they feel the need to.
This issue of trying to vet this in the spring, you know, last year you had a different situation because you knew going in to the start of the 24 season that Mikey Keene, barring injury, was going to be your quarterback. Now the uncertainty, because you have a new coaching staff and you have position battles, I know it can't get settled, Jackson, in the spring. But as we've talked, you also have that somewhat unique situation that because of the way the schedule is, it's jarring to realize that when we're talking on the week of Labor Day, we will be looking at the third game of the season coming up at Oregon State at that point. And that means that the Bulldogs have two games in August. They have the game in Kansas in Lawrence, and then home to Georgia Southern on the 23rd and the 30th. And then that Labor Day week, it's game week for Oregon State. Jackson, how tough is it going to be when you're going to have a quarter of your season done by the time we are 1 week into September, when you got a brand new coaching staff and you've got these position battles? Can you possibly be settled enough to hit the ground running the way you would certainly like to when you have two of those three games as challenges on the road and a Georgia Southern team that can give you a bad time at home? What about it?
Yeah, you know, the other oddity is it's going to take 12 weeks to play the final three quarters of the season with the three byes. So it's going to start quick, and then it's going to take a while to round it out. But, I mean, those first three games are, you know, it's a different situation. It's a little bit of a different animal. You don't get that FCS game until your fourth time out.
Right.
And knowing how Fresno State's going to play, you know, this is probably going to be a style that, regardless of how good or talented the team ends up being, they're going to be competitive in most games, and we'll see if they can do the things they need to do to get over the top. So you look at Kansas, at Oregon State, well, they're probably going to be underdogs at this stage going into those games, but they should have a style that should give them a shot. I mean, they could go either way, and then Georgia Southern coming in. I mean, they gave Boise State a heck of a time last season. They're probably the best team that's come in the Valley Children's Stadium this season, even though it's not a name a lot of fans are probably familiar with around here. So, I mean, you feel like any of those three could go either way. So this spring, it's important as far as getting the schemes down. I mean, that seems to be the focus. There doesn't seem to be a lot of too deep developments at this stage. They're really just trying to get the team mentality, get the schemes, get the key plays in. It sounds like most of their installation, they had already gotten a portion of that in before spring started, and they're going over it right now. And then I think probably maybe not till fall camp is when we're going to see most of the personnel decisions play out. But When you get through spring, they're not going to name a starting quarterback. I don't think they're going to tell anyone, really, they're going to start at any position. But what you do get is guys get a sense of the pecking order. And if you're second at a critical position, or maybe you're third and fourth at a spot where a lot of guys could play, you might start wondering if you have a shot to get back into it in the fall, or if you go to the portal and the team also needs to assess the roster. It's going to be, if 105 is the hard cap, they're going to be quite a ways over. So there's going to have to be some more attrition on this roster, and there's going to likely be some more additions with the spring portal window. So I don't think they're stressing personnel decisions too much right now. It's going to be Fast and Furious in August, or actually July, when the camp starts, to try to get that all in order for those first three games. So those first three games are – it's hard to set expectations. You feel like, again, they can compete with those teams. You can understand, given everything going on, if they fall short. But I don't know, you kind of look at most of the schedule like that. There's not a lot of easy wins, and there's probably not a single guaranteed loss. This could go a lot of different ways. And until we see this team take the field at Kansas, I don't think anyone's going to have a perfect idea of how good or how ready they're going to be.
Right. Anybody, and I know it's a very small sample size, but anybody unexpectedly jump front and center during that scrimmage on Saturday, somebody that you said, wow, I just didn't expect that? Or I realize the limited nature of being able to view all this stuff, but with your Bobby Valentine fake mustache on, anything you want to share with us?
Yeah, it's a bit harsh, especially in that setting. I've been able to observe Cal's open practice. I'm going back and forth to Bay Area and Fresno State for all these spring practices right now and getting a lot of miles in. And Cal is one place where you're allowed to watch practice to its entirety. And I've watched a ton of the reps already in a few practices, and with this kind of the pro style set, second and shorts, and the third and shorts, there's just not a lot of opportunities for huge highlights and key performers. So it is kind of hush coming out of the Bulldogs' closed scrimmage, but I think it's a little genuine that maybe some highlight plays or players didn't necessarily leak out afterwards, just because you are working on so much short yardage stuff that you just don't have someone catching a 50-yard touchdown or anything like that. So hopefully scrimmage 2 or 3 of the spring preview will open up that kind of opportunity for some players on the more talked-about position to kind of break out there.
I keep asking you about the offensive line in regard to it being the biggest question mark, and it seems like it's the same conversation we have been having for years now. But right now, as we talk, fairly early in the spring practice mode, is it still the O-line more than anything else, Jackson, that you look at and say, okay, as that position grouping goes, so goes this Fresno State team for 2025?
It does. This is the style of football that they're going to be attempting to put out there. If you have a really good defense, that can keep you in. But if you have that really good defense and a solid running game, it's going to be tough to. It's tough for other teams to beat you that way. And I think the defense is personnel-wise in pretty good shape. The linebackers are a big question mark if the two transfers plug in those holes. I don't see many weaknesses on the defense right now. I want to make sure they've got another corner besides Julian Hamilton. But other than that, even with the departures they've had, if the linebackers come out okay, this should be a pretty solid defense. And then you look on the offensive side, quarterbacks and receivers aren't going to be throwing and catching nearly as much. And all the tight ends are back. That group's in pretty good shape. You got Bryson Donaldson ready to roll. So just as long as the O-line takes care of its job, they should have most of their boxes checked even before some of these last question marks get answered. There was some back and forth on Saturday from the sounds of it, that is some good news. The O-line is learning some of them at least, and I know the defense is kind of ahead of schedule because they're not changing so drastically like the offense is, but I think having Jacob Stromer likely playing center, and there's a wealth of guards on this team. I think the interior line's in really good shape. I don't know how great the tackle spots are as far as talent goes, but they're going to be asked to be doing a lot of different things compared to before. So, you know, Roland Fullwood, perhaps the guy that's been on the second team for several seasons and hasn't really been trusted to be out there to play in the offense the last couple of years, if he's a guy that can road grade at the tackle position, if there's a potential liability in pass protection, you know, that goes away quite a bit in this scheme. So I think there's some doors open for some tackles to be more than what they were in the last scheme. And if that's the case, with the interior lineman options that this team has, they should be able to run the ball pretty well, and hopefully things don't collapse on third and long.
Well, we'll keep watching it, and I know you'll keep reporting it, and I'll always appreciate what you can bring us both on the air and on the board at unitparkboard.com. Jackson, you and I both know the coaches are going to say, and with complete justification, they need more time than they have right now. All the time, you know, when spring is done, spring practices are done, they have the lay period, it's going to be, you know what, we're going to try to get organized for the 30 days prior to the kick on the 23rd in Lawrence. But it is going to be a real battle just for familiarity's sake to try to get this team ready the way the schedule sorts out. I mean, I'm not kidding anybody. This isn't like, you know, Tennessee and Oklahoma back-to-back or Washington and Alabama, that kind of stuff. But it's still a difficult start when you're starting from scratch. I know there's talent still here, but we keep talking about transfer portal and all the other stuff and the fact that you have to rebuild so often every year. So are you leveled with your expectation for the entirety of the year, just the start of the year? How do you view this 2025 year taken as a single entity by the time it's done? Do you have any kind of numbers wins-wise you expect to see from this team?
Yeah, it's tough to judge. I look at the schedule and try to assess. I mean, it's hard to tell what exactly this team is right now, but you look at the type of competition they're getting, and the home schedule seems rather manageable. It seems like they could win 3, 4, 5, 6 games at home, even not knowing what this team could be. They're just right. Getting a lot of teams coming to Valley Children Stadium that lost a lot of games last year, more so than last year's 6th and 7th Fresno State team did. So it feels like as long as there's some decent progression this offseason and there's not an overwhelming talent deficiency from all the players that have left, that they should be in good shape to defend home field. And then even the road schedule, again, you don't have a Michigan or a USC. You've got a pretty manageable road. So at the same time, you know, you can see them going into some of these games and being a first-year team that's replacing a lot of pieces. It could be a lot easier said than done to make it happen. But what I can say is the staff has really set the expectation that they're going to compete for a conference championship. That's the message they're sending out. There's, you know, grad transfers coming here that are under that impression that they're coming here to, you know, be those pieces to help the team over the top right off the bat. I know talking to the coaches, I think they're perhaps surprised maybe even about the level of talent they are inheriting, even with the roster stripped down a bit. They feel like the culture around the program and the talent level is, I think, been a pretty decent starting point for year one staff to come right in and inherit. And it may not be as long of a journey to get a team to be a conference title contender with what they're inheriting. I think from the staff perspective, though, they're building this thing to try to compete right now, year one. I think you can feel like you have that expectation to an extent. But if they fall well short, I think you also can recognize all the challenges that were in their way of getting to such a stage.
And the uniqueness of this is that no matter what you do this year, it is truly a one and off in regard to your level of competition, because this is the final year of the Mountain West in football, and you're going to be stepping up in class because you're bringing the best schools along with you, or you're being brought along with those schools, take your pick. And you have two former P5s in Oregon State and Washington State. Admittedly, they have been on your schedule frequently, so it's not that jarring. But it's still, Jackson has taken any of the weak sisters away. So I would imagine whatever you do in 2025, success or falling a little short, the primary focus is where you're going to be at in 2026. I'm not minimizing this year, but I think everybody has to look at 2026, correct?
I do, and I think it's going to be interesting what kind of challenge it's going to be, because I look at this year, this singular year in the Mountain West, there's so much parity, I think. There's going to be a lot of close games. It's going to be who can be mentally ready each week and who can potentially be the more physical team, and that's exactly right. What they're building. Then it's a matter of what does the actual Pac-12 look like? Is that a style of football that is going to be as successful in that setting? Is it going to be a lot of parity? Is it going to be a conference that has sometimes you have conferences where they spread things out. Maybe it's not advantageous to be quite that team that's out of the norm. So you know, we'll see exactly how it evolves. But I think what they've got set in place this year is going to be advantageous for what the Mountain West is in 25.
And we'll see what numbers we'll have team-wise, too. Is it going to be 8? Is it going to be 10? We know it's not going to just be 7. That's for damn sure. So we'll see. Jackson, appreciate it. I hope people visit the board again. A buck for the month, 30% off. Where are we at here?
Yeah, it's currently $1 for just 1 month to try it out, just $1. And then we also have a new special running for spring camp. It's going to be 50% off here in the next day or so. So hope people take advantage of that and or the $1 for the month to try it out.
For the insider part of the board, the rest of it is free. Jackson, appreciate it. Normally I'd say see you on Friday, but it'll be next week. So have a great one, my friend. I'll certainly talk to you then. Take care.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
In fact, co-host Jackson Moore will take a break, come back, tell you about the upcoming schedule, hand it off to Phil, full 3 hours of Behind the Bench today, and I'll get to the rest of the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back to 251. About 5 minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phil, his outstanding show Behind the Bench, with you for the full 3 hours today. Lakers coming up a little bit later in the week. If you're listening live, just heard the Fresno Pacific reminder, and they have 3 games with Chaminade coming up later in the week on 790. We'll tell you about that tomorrow. Right now, I want to remind you, whether you're on your way home at the moment or thinking about heading home, or you're just out and around, that our friends at KFC have that special deal once again, $15.99, the 7-piece meal deal. We tell you about it all the time. 7 dark meat pieces, legs and thighs, original extra crispy, 2 large sides of mashed potatoes with gravy, and 3 homestyle buttered biscuits. Again, just $15.99. Stop by your KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, or Kerman. They have also on Tuesdays the great deal, the Buckets on Buckets special, which applies, of course, today. 8-piece bucket, your choice, again, of original extra crispy for just $10. So it is finger-licking good, and they are great deals, whether it's the $15.99 7-piece meal deal or the Tuesday 8-piece for $10 bucket offer. KFC's Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective to benefit Fresno State, and we appreciate very much what they do for us here at the station and for the folks at Fresno State. It is, with ESPN Radio and the local KFCs, a championship combination, and we remind you about it each and every day. So stop by and get the finger-licking good chicken on your way home or just out and around at any point. All right, the other reminder about the schedule comes from our friend Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, everything is there under one roof. 449-4500 for more information, or precisioneng.net. It allows us the time to tell you about the schedule, and we also remind you every day about the great fundraiser that he has, his company has, for Fresno State during the football season, Engineering Yardage, heading to its 5th year. Again, for every yard gained through the air for the last 4 seasons, a donation has been made to the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State, at a proud graduate of Fresno State and the Lyles College of Engineering. Again, the goal, unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It has worked out beautifully, and we appreciate everything Ed does for his alma mater and for us here at the station. As far as that lineup that we've talked about, you have the NC2As coming up tonight and tomorrow on True TV. Then we pick things up with Westwood One on Thursday, so it's blanket coverage. Thursday and Friday, the local shows will not be on because we'll have everything from Westwood One throughout Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the way through the other 2 weeks as well, up to the national championship 3 weeks from this last Monday. So it's a great 3 weeks of basketball starting tonight on television. And for us, television, of course, and Westwood One on 1430. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, I hope people enjoy it. By the way, our buddy Steve Clovis. Steve is headed to Vegas, riding those 10 seeds, and he's going to win so much money, and he's going to give all of it to Fresno State for NIL. Thank you, Steve. I know that's your intent, and I hope it works out for you just fine. And I love it when you bring the Ohlmeyer lineup about the answer to every question in sport is money. I'm not so sure we're referring to gambling, but you know what? If it works for you, Steve, and I know it's worked well for you, just go ahead and ride it as long as you possibly can. All right. The other reminders here, by the way, keep in mind the Dodgers, again, and the Cubs on television tonight, FS1, actually 3:10 in the morning our time, coming around after last night's win by the Dodgers. The Giants and A's get started, and the rest of Major League Baseball, because these games do count, by the way, right now. They get started for real on March 27th, so that's a week from Thursday. The other reminders, Phil Show 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays, normally at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Abedikian, best furniture on the planet. Great conversation of Phil's show and good eats. And, of course, you have the Lee's Air Hotline, 320-1430. Be a week off this week because of the NC2As, but usually on Thursdays that is where Phil is. But stop by Fashion Furniture no matter what. El Paso across from River Park. Palmetto's two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings on our sister station, the Deuce 790, and then Central Valley Sports Report on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays, live from First Ring Sports. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. For the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And one more reminder here. Thursday, your last chance to sign up for playing hooky at Eagle Mountain Casino. I talked about it earlier. Great giveaways and the great atmosphere of the NC2As. Again, go to the website, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You can sign up for the free bus trip and everything else through Thursday, about 5 o'clock, we'll have to wrap it up. That is an offer for this Friday to play hooky and head on up to Eagle Mountain Casino, or down, depending upon where you're coming from. Phil will tell you more about it. And then finally, one more reminder again, BulldogBread.com. That's the collective, critically important. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. Jack Furtick with me tomorrow. Phil is coming up. We'll see you guys at 2:05 tomorrow, and then the NC2As. And, of course, tonight, check out San Diego State in the play-in game, 6:10 on True TV against North Carolina. This is KFIG Fresno.